News. I'm Sherry Preston. Russian President Vladimir Putin is now threatening to use nuclear weapons if his country is threatened. Here's ABC News foreign correspondent Tom Rivers.
In an interview with Russian state television, Putin says from a military technical point of view, we are prepared. Russian nuclear forces, he stresses, are constantly in a state of combat readiness. When would he use them? His response, blunt. If there's a threat to Russian statehood, sovereignty, or independence. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
President Biden and former President Donald Trump both clinching their party's presidential nominations with more victories on Tuesday. A bill that could lead to a ban on TikTok is expected to pass the House. Lawmakers concerned about the company's Chinese owners that they may be a threat to national security. Uvalde Police Chief Daniel Rodriguez has turned in his resignation days after an investigative report cleared him and his officers of mishandling the Robb Elementary School shooting. This is ABC News. Lawmakers at the European Union expected today to give final approval to the EU's first artificial intelligence law. It will require AI companies to mitigate risks and step up cybersecurity. New push today to try to stop drug deaths.
The White House telling Americans they could prevent many of last year's more than 100,000 drug overdoses if people would invest in a quick and effective over-the-counter spray called Naloxone. The FDA made it available without a prescription, along with an auto-injector pen, all designed to help someone recover from an opioid overdose. The overdose recovery spray costs $45, but the government is also giving out free bottles to organizations trying to save lives.
That's ABC's Andy Field in Washington. And a California parking lot, once home to a site sacred to a Native American tribe, has been returned to the Ohlone people. The two-acre lot in Berkeley sits on land that was home to a shell mound that dated back nearly 6,000 years. It's now a park and cultural center. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Unleash Live is coming to Barnwood Events in Madison this April. Calling all visionary leaders, change makers, and soulful CEOs, it's time to release any lingering chains of expectation, unleash the authentic leader within you, and expand your brand impact. Soul Seed Strategy facilitates transformation by creating an experience that supports you to embody greater authenticity and step into expanded leadership. Register now at soulseed.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The recall attempt against Wisconsin's most powerful Republican lawmaker has come up short. Organizers of a push to oust Assembly Speaker Robin Voss turned in 14,000 signatures Monday, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission Tuesday determined not enough of them come from the district Voss was elected in. Commissioners are asking the state Supreme Court for clarity. Tick season is beginning early this year. The state health department and experts from the University of Wisconsin in Madison began looking for ticks last month. They say that about half of the adult deer ticks they found carried the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Ticks can become active as soon as temperatures are above 40 degrees and the snow has melted. Experts say that it's too early to say if this year's tick season will be longer than usual or if more ticks will be carriers of Lyme disease compared to other years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Another loss on the road for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks stunned in Sacramento, losing 129-94 to the Kings. The win snapped a 15-game losing streak for the Kings against the Bucks. Milwaukee finished their West Coast trip 1-3. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
We just didn't have a very smart game. I'm not going to overplay it. It's one game, but we had two of them on this trip and blew one. This trip could have easily been 2-2, but It's not. It is what it is, and we have to deal with that.
Giannis, after the loss.
You know that there's going to be a track meet. You know they're going to play fast. You know they're going to shoot the ball with 17 seconds on the clock. If you're not locked in, not able to match the same energy that as them, you're going to have problems.
Baseball, the Brewers' William Contreras with a three-run homer. Colin Ray pitched four scoreless innings, but the Brewers lost to the Cubs 6-5. NFL, the Packers re-signed two more of their players, defensive back Corey Ballantyne and tight end Tyler Davis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today with clouds gradually increasing as we make our way through the afternoon. It's going to be mild with a high of 64. The wind will be east at 5 to 15. Tonight, rain after midnight, low of 41. Tomorrow, rain likely, high of 46. We could get a quarter to a half inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down late tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Wednesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Schmidt. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, the John Gordy Show, as you might have heard there in the song, 92.7 FM, and of course, 1580 AM, broadcasting from the capital city, a couple of blocks away from the capital.
That's
and,
right.
And yeah, we don't have to deal with the Republicans anymore. They're taking a 10-month vacation, which most people do.
And we are live at Short Stack Eatery at 301 West Johnson, at the corner of Johnson and State, and we were here until 8 o'clock this morning.
We would like to welcome our guest on our very first guest at the eatery, and it is John Cavalla, cartoonist, editorialist, columnist, the whole shooting match, and plus game
author.
Inventor,
yeah.
Author, that's right, and... just one thing after the next. Since the old days that we knew each other, way back when, you were doing columns for the newspaper.
Yeah, I wrote
State Journal, right?
Yeah, I started at the Daily Cardinal here at the UW, and I went from there to the Capital Times, and from there to the Wisconsin State Journal, where I was a feature writer, a strip cartoonist, an editorial cartoonist, and eventually they had me inputting the calendar.
So. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I
remember. You were doing everything.
A little bit.
I saved a whole bunch of articles, and you had written about the Family Show, earlier programs that we were part of.
Yes.
And you were a critic at that point. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, it was all good, positive stuff. That's why we stayed friends. But then your wildlife caught on, obviously, took off, and then you were on your way. That was it, right?
Well, the old comic strip Wildlife took off for a little bit, and then it didn't.
Oh, it did. Okay. So, all right. You spun off some of the characters from Wildlife.
Yes. Yeah. There are some of the characters still appear in my, it's not new anymore. It's coming up to its 30th
anniversary. Yes, a long time.
The comic strip Dork Tower.
Right.
It was a comic book, and it's now mostly an online web strip.
Mm-hmm. And you do it a couple of times a week, is that it?
Three times a week.
Okay.
Three times a week. And... yes, I was one of the first cartoonists to post their work online this is before Dark Tower, back in 1993. Mm-hmm. I started, I was working with a company called Steve Jackson Games down in Austin, Texas. And they had posted some of my illustrations online. And I just read in Wired magazine about this new thing called the web and Mozilla. And so I went over to a friend's house who was a computer scientist and said, hey, can we see this? And the thing was, you know, back then, extraordinarily slow, extraordinarily clunky. Yes. But, you know, I went to the what is now, you know, kids today refer to as a website.
Mm-hmm.
And, the it started coming up. Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. So very shortly after that, I started posting my comic strip Wildlife online. It would run in the State Journal. It would run with Chronicle Features Syndicate. And it would also go online. And so I was getting fan mail from all over the world all of a sudden. And it was just, you know, kind of really cool.
Yeah.
It was nowadays you're sort of used to that. And it's like, Right. Oh, here's what's happening in Zambia.
Well, now you're trying to think of different ways to market it or put it online or at least feature it online.
Yep.
You did Dork Tower. And that's the thing that has taken off. And now this, you brought in the Tau of Igor?
Yes, that's the latest collection.
And this is a collection. Now, yes. How many volumes of this have you gotten out
this
of?
This is the 10th volume.
Okay, for Dork Tower.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm going to be launching a Kickstarter within the next couple of months because none of the web strips, these are all collections up to this point, have basically been the old comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Dork Tower was a comic book in the 2000s, the early 2000s. And it was relatively successful. Ended up selling like 500,000 copies of the comic book in the 32 editions it was printed in, the issues. But the online strips, there are about 2,300 strips online, which have never been collected. So
now they are.
It's going to start now, yes.
So we're talking with John Kovalik here at Short Stack Eatery. And John, tell us a little bit now about the gaming end of this, the board games. How did that all develop, and what's that all about?
Well, I've been a gamer pretty much since I was in school in England back in the late 1970s.
Okay.
Playing, you know, old Avalon Hill board games, Squad Leader, classic games like that, Kingmaker, Escape from Colditz, and I've always loved gaming. It's just been, you know, it's a great way, you know, to spend time with friends. There's the whole social aspect of gaming. It's interesting. It's fascinating to me.
How did you come up with Apples to Apples?
Oh, gosh.
how did that idea? I mean, it seems like a very simple, easy game.
Fast forward 30 years.
Okay. All right.
So the late 1990s, mid to late 1990s, I was growing very dissatisfied at the State Journal. I was a feature writer, and I loved the newsroom. I loved the atmosphere of the State Journal. I missed the people so much. But I was always writing about what other people were doing, what other people were accomplishing. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'd have to interview like a new cartoonist who would be picked up from the syndicate. And I had to interview the creator of Foxtrot. It's like, so tell me, what's it like being a successful cartoonist? Must be fun.
Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah. You must enjoy life a great deal. And my wife, actually, before she was my wife, Judith, we were 6 weeks away from the wedding. And my wife said, honey, you're miserable at the State Journal. You'll just quit and I'll support you.
Mm-hmm.
And so 5 weeks before the wedding, I quit my paying job with insurance.
Okay.
I just started up this, again, having been a gamer for all this time.
Yeah.
I started publishing a gaming magazine actually approached me to create a new comic strip for them. And this became Dork Tower.
Dork Tower, you're right.
And Carson the Muskrat was sort of imported from Wildlife because I just love drawing Carson. And then I came up with a whole batch of new characters. It started running monthly, and I started attending gaming conventions, and I started talking with the companies who I'd always, you know, loved their work. Steve Jackson Games. I began doing cartoons for them, for their in-house magazine called Pyramid Magazine. And then a local businessman who was also a gamer saw that I had illustrated some card games for Steve Jackson Games. There's this game called Illuminati, New World Order, which is it's a hugely fun game, and it takes all of the conspiracy theories and makes them very silly. And like, who controls what and everything. But he was forming a new company in Madison, and he wanted me to be part of that. I was a little sus about this all. It was like, oh, okay, a new gaming company. What can go wrong there? But the first game we came out with was one that he designed, which was called Bosworth. Mm-hmm. And this was back in 96, 97. And Bosworth is a terrific chess variant. It's a fun chess variant,
okay.
But it's still a chess variant. Yes. And you don't form a company to make a chess variant. Yep. Fortunately, the very first gaming convention we attended down in Columbus, Ohio, a game designer came up to us with this giant sprawling game he had invented, which was called Apples and Oranges. Mm-hmm. And this was, it had so many bells and whistles. It was a hugely complex game with lots of moving parts. And so we agreed to meet with him to check it out, because this was totally new to us. It's like, Right. Oh, wow, somebody's bringing something to us. That's odd and strange, but he does not look like a serial killer, so okay.
And there were a lot of them.
Yes.
The serial killers who were gamers.
Yeah.
And serial killers. This was Wisconsin.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, so after one of the days at the show, we were at the bar, at the hotel, opened up this giant game, and it was not a bad game at all, but there was so much going on. And one small part of this game was you had a hand of cards. And you had six or seven red cards, and then a judge. There would be a judge who's not mentioned before in any other part of this game. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, this one aspect, you had a judge, and your judge would turn over a green card. What's the most reprehensible? And everybody would play a red card face down, and the judge would choose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And at that point, the founder of the company said, wait a second, this is the game.
Exactly.
And we moved all the huge board and everything apart from these cards off to another table.
Yes.
And we just started playing with these cards. Yeah. And it was a very simple thing back then with nouns anybody would know. But we couldn't stop talking about it. It was a totally new concept. It was a totally new idea that we'd never seen anything like this before. And the whole drive back to Madison from Columbus, we just could not stop talking about this game.
Mm-hmm.
So we began working with the designer. And you know, we did a lot of work on our own, just tightening it up, changing it, bringing in things like flavor text, so you could use any noun whatsoever. You'd have an explanation at the bottom. I was playing a game called Magic: The Gathering back then, and the rest of the company wanted to make the cards the simplest they could be, so everybody would know what they were. It's like, that's no fun. If we just put some flavor text on the cards, then anybody can play any card. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, sure, that's reprehensible. So they basically said, okay, smart aleck, you go and write this. And
that was
so. For weeks, I was on our couch on my old laptop, just yelling to my wife, "Honey, what's funny about Kennedy assassination?"
Really?
"Honey, what's funny about high school bathrooms?" What's funny about mud?
Being serial killers, that's how they start off normally on the couch, asking those questions.
Interesting stuff.
But yeah, it was a phenomenal game. Nobody's seen anything like it ever. It basically changed gaming, at least the sort of big box store casual gaming scene. Because before that, all the games you could get were essentially trivia games.
Yep, great stuff. John, we got to take a quick break.
Sure.
We're visiting with John Kovalik. It's John and Gordy along with Catherine Lake. We're at Short Stack Eatery, downtown Madison, at the corner of Johnson and State. Back with more with John Kovalik after this.
Listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabba, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Mad Radio, 1580 a.m. and 92.7 FM, WMDX.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, and a very good morning to you. The John and Gorda Show with Catherine Lake in the background at this point, because in that chair, it's John Kovalliker, special guest this morning, cartoonist, columnist, and book writer as well. And we've got a question here from Catherine
from the
Lake.
Gallery. From the gallery, if you don't mind, because I've known John as long as you guys have, pretty right. much.
And time has no meaning anymore.
I brought your game to Maine for my annual sojourn with my family, Apples to Apples.
Oh.
And they loved it. We made it an annual tradition for a while. But what was unique to us about the game, what you just mentioned, is that there's a judge. There's opinion. Mm-hmm. This is not Monopoly.
Yep.
This is not, you know, what is that, Risk? You know, yep. This is... an opinion game, so that it makes you engage with one another, and laughs are automatic. But when I went to dinner at your house a couple of weeks ago, we played another game of yours, because this is just one of like 300 games that you've been involved in, quite literally, I think. Yeah. And it was another opinion game. Is that your thing?
Yeah.
Opinion games, you know what I mean?
Yeah, games with the judge mechanic.
Great question.
Judge mechanic. Specifically, but okay. It's a wonderful mechanic. And as far as I know, Apples to Apples was the first with that. And then A Card Against Humanity came along, and other games came along with the judge mechanic.
D&D was not opinion, was it? Or was it?
Well, not really.
I mean, that's not.
D&D's role playing, but you know, the Dungeon Master certainly has opinions at times.
Mm-hmm.
But no, role-playing thing, it's a huge thing, actually. It's bigger than it's ever been these days. Board games are bigger than they've ever been these days. Card games are bigger than they've ever been these days. It's quite remarkable. Like, there are, not exaggerating, between 1 and 2,000 new games coming out every month.
Wow.
Now,
well, that many?
Yes, and it's difficult for store owners to keep up with this and to know what's coming out. So having a track record behind you at this point in the game, no pun intended, is actually a good thing.
You know,
people in the gaming community around the world know my work. They know my illustrations. They know the games I've worked on. I get approached by several game companies from all over the world every year to illustrate games, to work on games. I've got my own designs, which I need to get out there and start pushing a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
been where around the world are you really popular? I mean, is there...
Oh, gosh. Everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere. I will be invited to conventions in Germany, in Italy, in France, in Australia, and Brazil.
Really?
And there will be huge signing lines. It's when I was in... the worst slash best was about a decade ago in Germany. I was at this giant games convention called Spiel, which is German for games, held in the city of Essen. And they had nobody stopping the signing line. And so for 3 days,
oh, wow.
I was you try to be polite, because these are people.
Sounds outrageously nightmarish.
Three days?
A story to a movie.
Yes. It just kept on. I mean, the line would shorten, and then people would see a short line and get back in line.
They'd jump in. And,
the worst thing was the worst slash best thing was my German publishers were handing out blank Munchkin cards, which Munchkin is the other big game.
Right. Okay.
It's more of a nerdy thing than Apples to Apples, but it is a huge bestseller around the world. It's been translated into 19 languages. And so having a blank card, everybody wanted me to draw on the card.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
Beautiful. It went like the 3 days. It was like a 7 hour, 6.5 hour, and another 7 hour signing day.
How cramped up were your hands?
Oh, at the end,
God.
You could come out with another a volume of cards that you drew up for people.
I've actually asked Steve Jackson Games to stop printing blank Michigan cards. I'm going to Modena in Italy in May for a convention I've been invited to. I'll probably go back to Lucca in Italy, which is the giant, giant multimedia convention in around Halloween. And then I come back to Madison and I'm essentially anonymous.
And you're okay with that.
I'm kind of okay with that. I would like it if some local bookstores were better about stocking my books, but
I've heard that story. My wife is a writer, and you know, trying to get it stocked, it's crazy. All right. Now tell us about Dork Tower a little bit for people who may not be familiar with it. DorkTower.com. Check out the website. It's all there. Explanations about all the characters, how to pronounce them, why they are there. They're all gamers in this Dork Tower.
They're all gamers. It began as a purely gaming comic strip. It was in this monthly magazine, or bi-monthly magazine. And from there, it kind of grew to be just about more, you know, my life and my friends' lives. The web strip started out as just kind of a random thing. But in the last, we did a very successful Patreon campaign to help fund it back in 2018. And that really let me devote a lot more time to the strip. The strip now covers so many different topics. At the start of the Trump administration.
Oh, that's right. You became a little more political in your comics.
Yes, yes. I quit editorial cartooning because I don't enjoy politics that much.
Yep.
A lot of my friends who were editorial cartoonists love politics, love hanging with the politicians. I couldn't stand it. So I was. My comics have always been somewhat political. Mm-hmm. You know, they started, Wildlife began daily at the Daily Cardinal, and I had one of Carson the Muskrat's cousins was a Sandinista. But at the start of the Trump administration, and then again with the start of the pandemic, I had to make a conscious decision because many of my friends were in pain from this. Many of my friends were literal and figuratively in pain because of some of the what was going on in the world at that time. And so I had to think, am I going to use the comic strip as escapism and just avoid everything and make it a place where people can just come and relax? Or am I going to tackle some of the stuff head on? And for my mental well-being, I prefer tackling it head on. Trash fire.
I'm
going to be writing about that.
Yeah.
So the readership actually exploded when I started bringing more social aspects of the world into the work.
Interesting.
I lost some readers, but for the most part, it just...
In Dark Tower, the only character, animal character, is my friend.
Yes.
We're talking with John Kowalik here at Short Stack Reading. Yes?
Okay, go ahead. No. We have still so much to talk about.
I know.
We're all professionals here.
We're up against a break here, but... talking with John Kowalik here at Short Stack Eatery in downtown Madison, 301 West Johnson. We're going to be here for about another half hour, so if you're here, you can stop by, say hi to John Gordy and John Kowalik and Kath Lake. We're all going to be here for a little while yet, but we've got news and weather. And John, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Sure can.
We'd love to have you. We've got news, weather, and Pam Yonke with a farm report coming up shortly. And also a pair of tickets to give away to Legacy Dinner Theater up in Wisconsin Dells for Liverpool Legends. We'll be doing that in our next half hour. Stay with us for more of John and Gordy live at Short Stack Eatery. Everybody's
sing along.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Come on.
As we were saying.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Severe weather preparedness. It's something everybody should take serious, whether you're in town or the country. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And one of our Wisconsin agencies is tuning up their severe weather skills now. Details on the way.
Steffes Group is conducting another Wisconsin area equipment auction at multiple Wisconsin locations. This timed online auction closes Wednesday, March 27th at 1 p.m. Don't miss this opportunity to bid on high-quality farm and construction equipment. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for more information on this and other upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide. Mark your calendar for the Wisconsin Area Equipment Auction closing March 27th at 1 p.m. That's steffesgroup.com.
Andrew Beckett is with Wisconsin's Emergency Management. He says whether it's out in the country or in an urban area, nobody is immune to severe weather. He says they rely a lot on data from the National Weather Service when it comes to disaster response and connecting communities with monetary resources after the severe weather passes.
The National Weather Service is a very close partner with us. We work regularly with their offices throughout the state of Wisconsin. They even have a spot in the State Emergency Operations Center in the event that we have a major disaster, because we rely very heavily on the forecast information that they provide us, both current and long range. It's a very big factor in a lot of the planning that we do. So anything people can do to, whether it be a trained weather spotter or finding out how you can effectively provide stat information to them for rainfall, snowfall totals, things like that, that's great. Because the more data they have, the better their forecasts get, and the better we're able to get a picture of what's going on in the state of Wisconsin.
Andrew Beckett with Wisconsin's Emergency Management. He's encouraging everybody, no matter where you live, to think about engaging with the National Weather Service as a citizen scientist. You can find details on how you can get involved at WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And did you know 70% of Wisconsinites rely on groundwater as their primary source of drinking water? This is Groundwater Awareness Week, and the Wisconsin DNR is advising everyone to think twice about water as their resource, work on recycling to keep groundwater clean, and also think about how we're using water wisely. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with clouds gradually increasing as we make our way through the afternoon. It's going to be mild with a high of 64. The wind will be east at 5 to 15. Tonight, rain after midnight, low of 41. Tomorrow, rain likely, high of 46. We could get a quarter to a half inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down late tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Bum,
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Old West Exterminator, the only exterminators in town who kill your roaches after giving them guns and allowing the roaches to draw first.
Mad Radio WMDX 92.7 FM and 1580 AM on your dial and all over social media. And try out the Civic Media app as well. You can call us or text us, give us a message there, or also any kind of social media source. Just let us know. And we do have a phone number that yes. Gordy, he loves phone numbers. 608-879-TALK, 879-8255.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that.
Wait, that just went out over the social media.
No, I don't think so. We are at Short Stack Eatery, and I want to mention they have some special offerings today because it is, what is today? Is this tomorrow? This is tomorrow because tomorrow is Pi Day. See, it's 314.
Oh, great. Pi
so
Day
they have
again?
Pi Day offerings tomorrow. Right. You can order a pie on their website until 7 p.m. tonight, and you can pick it up tomorrow. So that's a good deal. And just you can get key lime pie by the slice. They've got some special deals there. So just go to the Short Stack website. Is that right? Okay. And then you can order up for Pi Day tomorrow. And we're visiting here. We're continuing with John Kabalik, who has stopped by here. And we've known John for 30 or 40 years.
Long,
of course,
long
we haven't time. Seen him for 20 or 30 years. Well, yes. Yeah. So we're reminiscing with John Kabalik here this morning at Short Stack Eatery.
Okay. That's right. We gave John a big boost in his career.
I owe it
we
all
do
to
that you. With a lot of people.
I owe it all to you.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about
great. Can we get a piece of the action on some of these games that are selling worldwide, millions of dollars?
DarkTower.com is the place to check out his cartoons, and he also has the Apples to Apples and other games as well that he has put up. And Mattel bought it.
Yes.
And that was a nice financial windfall for you.
It was. I was actually against the sale at the time, but I was very much a minority owner of the company, and the majority owner was just sick of all of us, the other three in the company.
Yes, I
and
guess
he
that
just
happens.
Wanted out. And so when you're doing $24 million a year in sales, you don't really have the petty cash to buy a majority owner out. So we
that
had to,
is true. That's
sold,
a lot.
Yes. It was remarkable. Every year, the sales would double. The game was that new, that groundbreaking. But we sold 4 million copies on our own. And the majority owner wanted... He was done with the whole thing.
That's what a lot of people do. They come up with these really great products that become very popular, and what happens is you sell it to a major buyer, and you make a lot of money that way, and you can retire.
When Mattel pulled up with the money truck, it was like, okay, well,
that's it.
This sucks, but it could suck worse.
Yep.
I knew in my heart that Apples to Apples would become a cultural phenomenon, and I wanted to be along for that ride.
Yeah.
You know, we had worked so much on this game. We'd put so much into it. So it was very much, mixed feelings
about
that.
You still get something for it?
No. Okay. Mattel...
One-time sale.
Okay. Yeah. So I like to say that Apples to Apples bought our house, and Munchkin pays the property taxes.
All right, there you go.
All right. All worked out.
And it pays for your lessons in Taekwondo. I want to get into that.
Oh, yes.
Taekwondo? How did you get into Taekwondo?
Yeah, Taekwondo, it's not judo or karate. It's something...
It's Korean. It's Korean martial arts.
Right.
And my child, who 7 years ago, their school had an international day. And Mike Moe, the head of Moe's Martial Arts at the time, now known as Level Up Martial Arts, came to school with one of the other students and gave a demonstration. And the kids were fascinated by this. They were breaking boards, very, very light boards, but they're having a hugely fun time. And Mr. Moe is very charismatic. He's actually an actor, a very successful actor. He played Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in America.
You have to play
in Hollywood. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah.
And he just, there was I think it was Apple TV, had the movie Ghosted with Chris Evans, where he was, Mr. Moe was the now Master Moe, a six degree black belt, but he played the central villain in this. So But he is extremely charismatic, and I saw that all the kids loved this. And I went up to talk with him after the demonstration. It's like, you know, I'd like to talk about Taekwondo lessons. And he said, for you. And I was like, oh, no, for my child.
Yeah. That's how it happens, then, by the way. That's what happens to parents.
How it happens is, you know, being in the West this long, there was the offer of a free uniform if you were a family member.
There you go. Oh, that's it. That's the attraction. I got it.
$25 for four classes and a free uniform. And I'm thinking, you know, oh, okay, Halloween's coming up. So I started taking classes with my kid, and I just really thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And it was a great parent-child time.
Yeah.
We essentially belted up together every time, went going from white belt to orange to yellow to camo green.
You know, yeah, I had a similar experience with my kids. They were at Kicks. You know, karate, I think that's what it was. But they just loved it. And the thing that I didn't realize is that they love the discipline part of the sport. And that's what kind of attracted me to it. And unfortunately, they offered some kind of college education in regards to karate. And no, I wasn't going to buy into that.
Yes.
So the lessons ended at that point. But you kept on going with Taekwondo.
Yes.
You even took a break, right? And now are you back into it again?
Well, here's the thing.
But you know, you're older and everything. Your body is creaky.
Yeah, exactly. How's your hook kick?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Hook kick.
Oh.
Let's hear the hook kick thing.
Okay, so,
ouch.
There are many, many, many things in the martial arts that kids can do that people in their 50s and 60s simply can't.
Right.
Okay.
Fortunately, at Mo's now Level Up Martial Arts, there are many parents who take classes with the kids, and we tend to form like the back line when you're lining up.
Okay,
there'd be two or three rows of kids, and then at the back it's the parents because you line up by height and in general. So it's sort of a support group.
It's like a level group. You know, a lot of these exercise videos that you could see, there's always the person in the back that is doing it very easily, you know, hardly any movement whatsoever.
So you've seen me doing burpees.
Oh, there you go.
But no, my child and I, we became black belts together.
Man, black belt.
Two and a half years ago.
And
that was probably one of the best parenting days of my life. I never thought that we could be able to do this together.
Yeah.
We went to the black belt ceremony.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But the year before that, and up through last October, I started developing arthritis in my hip. Mm-hmm. Not from the Taekwondo, but essentially from the fact that for a good 30 years, I was 30 to 40 pounds overweight.
Mm.
And so I finally, the child and I got our second degree black belts last October. And I never thought that was a possibility. I just sort of assumed once we became first degree, that the kid would just fly off on their own and just outpace me and everything. But I was able to just about keep up. And so we did our black belt test. And 4 days later, I was in for hip replacement surgery.
Wow. Are you recovering from that, getting back into it
yes.
Again?
I just had my first lesson since the black belt testing on Monday.
That's great.
It was actually fabulous. It was great being back on the mat.
You get the movement back.
It's getting, well, the two things which astonished me
were
I've got a far greater range of motion than I had before. Like I now do a hook kick.
good for you.
I can now do round kicks, which are things which required a pivot, and the pivot is when the hip would just go all kinds of berserk.
I would think the back would be a situation as well.
Not really. This like you're normally very steady in your poses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not. There's not a lot that's going on.
Okay,
it's going to be legs and hands and feet and arms.
We're talking with John Kovalik here at Short Stack Eatery with John and Gordy and Catherine Lake. And John, what is your title? What do we call it? Cartoonist, comic, gamer? What do you go with on your card?
Bon vivant.
Bon vivant?
Yes.
There John we go. Kovalik, bon vivant.
Could we get a pronunciation on that?
Oh, right. Let me line that up. You keep talking. We'll get the pronunciation.
Okay, you know what?
I'm
I was
doing Duolingo French at the moment.
So wait,
do
you sure really? Really? Oh, really? Fantastic. Okay. That is the actual
would,
way to say
no, the
it.
The T would not be pronounced in French. Bon vivant.
Oh, okay. There, see? We don't even need to look this time.
Okay.
But right. Back in the early 70s, I thought very seriously about taking Taekwondo because everybody, I was working a third shift job in a bookbindery, and all of the supervisors were Taekwondo experts.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, these guys were really, really good. Yes. But they were even doing these kicks all over the floor. Yes. It was just really, you know, obnoxious. So I decided not to get into it. But, you know, at the time, you know, the spy TV shows were all using karate. Oh, yes. And everybody was into this thing, you know, and Taekwondo was just a better version of it.
Yes.
I thought.
I love Taekwondo. Again, it was just, had Master Mo been doing karate or judo, I would have gotten into that.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu is not as fun. That's really? A lot of time on the ground. That's kind of
okay.
Your back.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
So you practice every day? Or do you,
I try to.
And you do the nunchucks and everything?
Nunchucks, yes.
Nunchucks.
Well, you're really good at this.
I enjoy it.
But yes,
you won a state
award.
Title or something,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That means you're very good at
the age group. Actually, it could mean that, or it could mean the fact that I just haven't died yet.
Yes. Do you get hit with the nunchucks? I mean, doesn't it happen often?
No. There is kind of a padded weapon which you can use in sparring, but for the most of the weapons, nunchucks. You got me saying it now.
Well, it's shangshobang. It's nun.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Okay.
Shangshobang. Bow staff. Sword. You're just doing a form, so you're running through a series of steps, a series of moves.
Okay.
And I just adore those. I mean, bow staff is classic. Sword is fun as heck.
Yeah.
And nunchucks were my specialty. And so I'm the 2023 state champion, ATA, American Taekwondo Association, Wisconsin state champion.
Wow.
In sparring and weapons.
No, you've bonked yourself on the head with those things once. Come on.
They're padded, but it still hurts.
It can, but you get good at it. And in fact, I can do it now blindfolded, which was actually one of the things Mr. Mo suggested for practice with the nunchucks is just doing it blindfolded so you know what the hand positions are going to be.
The force, Luke. The force.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Okay.
Well.
Well, we're talking with bon vivant, John Kovalik, here at Short Stack Eatery. We got a few more minutes to go here, but we're coming up toward a break here. But before we go, we've got a couple of tickets we want to give away to Liverpool Legends, which is happening at up in Wisconsin Dells at the Legacy Dinner Theater. Now, these tickets include dinner and the show. It's this Saturday, and if you would like to go, you can give us a call right now. 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255. Again, it's Liverpool Legends. They're the Beatles band. They had their own theater down in Branson, Missouri for many years. It's one of the top Beatle bands out there. And again, Saturday is the show, Saturday evening. It does include dinner at the Legacy Dinner Theater in Wisconsin Dells. All so right. If you're interested in those tickets, call us now, 608-879-8255. 8255.
All right. Well, we want to thank John Kovalik for stopping out today.
You're calling right now? You want to win those tickets?
dorktower.com. Check out the website as well. And if you want to get into Taekwondo, you know, that is a fantastic sport and stay fit that way. And I wish we had a little bit more time here to talk about all this stuff. Should we hold them over?
Yeah, we only have a minute break here, but if you want to hang around just a few more minutes.
We have a few more things.
We'll do things. Okay. All right. What's that?
He's here for breakfast.
Okay. Again, Short Stack Eatery, that's where we're at. Tomorrow they have a pie day offering because tomorrow's 3/14. So if you want to order their pie online, you can do that until 7 p.m. tonight to pick up your pie tomorrow. And they also have key lime pie by the slice. Just go to shortstackeats.com. That's shortstackeats.com. Back with more of John and Gordy and bon vivant John Kovalik.
You're listening listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience. No, of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This is Mad Radio WMDX, the John and Gorney Show with Catherine Lake and our special guest this morning, John Kovalik. Bon vivant. Did I say that correctly?
I don't think
no
so.
Tea, right?
Not even close. Okay. You know, wait,
a lot.
You know, we met, so we're Mad Radio, but we knew each other at the old Mad Radio. Yes. I remember you stopping out W-M-A-D. And being on the show. Yes. A couple of times out of the cornfield out there
yes.
in Sun Prairie. Yeah. You recall that, some of the old days?
I do. When I first moved to Madison, I latched onto 92 immediately.
Sure.
And I got to know many of the disc jockeys, the programmers, everything. It
yeah.
was just a terrific yeah. scene.
Yeah.
And it was, for the most part, it was the music I enjoy. So
yeah, yeah, fun days.
Yes,
it was. It was a great radio station out there. Even though you know we were in the middle of a cornfield.
Yeah, yeah. The building was kind of a dump in the studio. You know,
but
it was very laid back and very yeah.
The current open very nice. I like the current.
And a funny thing about it, I was looking back over some of the old newscasts. I recorded them. And I saved all this stuff when we were shut down. Yep. But I found out that the entire music library was stolen. Somebody came in and robbed the station that. After yes. it was closed down, and they took all the
it
albums.
Was shut down by the bank. Yeah, they shut the bank shut it down, but somebody had a
somebody
key.
Somebody snuck in, and they got everything.
So that's kind of sad, but also kind of impressive.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, we were talking, you know, you were born in England. You went yes. back to England. You had a slight English accent, which you're trying to... You don't really have anymore.
I don't think I have anymore. Every now and then somebody says, oh, I hear it. It's like, that's good because I don't. I've been... Yeah.
But you said you don't want to get the Wisconsin accent.
I've been an accent sponge all my life because we moved all over the place
yeah.
in England, in the States.
Yeah.
And every now and then my wife and her sister will slip into pure Fargo.
Oh, no. Okay. Really?
It's like, I'm just going to vote. A vote. I'm going to vote on a boat in the moat. you know, oh, yeah, that's Brett Favre. He's got an arm like a cannon.
There you go. There you go.
So I just, you know, nothing against the great state of Wisconsin,
no.
which I truly love. This is mm-hmm. a wonderful place. And I've lived here far longer than any place I've ever lived in my entire life. But I will find myself catching, you know, myself with
right.
a couple of these pronunciations.
Right. When I was, you know, when I went to broadcast school, they tried to drum that out of us so we didn't talk like Wisconsinites. And I'm from Milwaukee, and it is really, really bad in Milwaukee. It is terrible. It was a South Side neighborhood. Oh, my gosh, it was just outrageous. But now, if you listen to some of the radio stations, the local radio stations throughout Wisconsin, that's the thing that they want. They want that Wisconsin accent now.
Oh, yes.
yeah.
Yes. Even I listen to BBC Radio 6, and like my mm-hmm. favorite disc jockeys, so I've got these very thick Manchester accent. Wow. It's an up north accent, yeah. Which you would never hear on the BBC 10 years ago. 20 years ago, certainly not. It was all English, the London, the posh London accent. So it's great. But I did catch myself saying Rocky a couple of days ago.
Okay. John, I want to ask you, what are you working on now? What's ahead for you in the near future?
There's some big news which I can't...
Tell us.
Well, the thing I can say is I'm finally collecting all the web strips. There are 2,300 comic strips online, most of which have never been collected in book form. So there will be a Kickstarter within the next month or two for the first collection. It'll be called The Dork Web.
Wow, I like that name.
But these will be strips from like 2000 to 2002. And it's very, very odd going back revisiting your work from 25 years
exactly.
ago, certainly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It holds up a little bit better than I was worried about. My business manager has refused to let me change anything. Not allowed to rewrite anything. It's going to be sort of warts and all. I'll be allowed to correct the spelling mistakes.
There you go.
There's a huge thing coming down with the game Munchkin, which I'm working on now. And Munchkin, again, is... other big game of the hundreds I've worked on.
Mm-hmm. You did the artwork for them.
Yes, I've done 7,000, more than 7,000. I lost track at 7,000 illustrations for the game Munchkin. Oof. It's been, there are dozens of supplements to the game. There are dozens of variations. There's a science fiction version of Munchkin.
Oh, really?
It's fantasy, okay. a basic fantasy Munchkin.
Yeah.
Zombie Munchkin, Cthulhu Munchkin. And again, this is really big in the geeky community around the world.
Yeah.
And you can order it online too. It's on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
It's
worldofmunchkin.com.
Okay.
It's the Steve Jackson site. But it'll be everywhere. It'll be in stores. Like, you can't avoid it in stores.
I see a chainsaw.
Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah. It is on it.
Or if you'd rather not support Amazon, it's also in local stores like I'm Bored, Pegasus Games, Noble Knight. I forget the name of the one just down here on State Street. It's relatively new, but it's a lovely store.
Well, you promoted Pegasus Games.
There's a store in the strip called Pegasaurus, which is basically Pegasus Games.
Yeah.
Okay. I was very, very good friends with the owners of the store when it was on State Street and then moved out to Odana. And now it's undergone a change of ownership, but it's still a fabulous store. And so it's going to remain Pegasaurus in the comic strip.
Oh,
there are a lot of Madison references that people in Essen, Germany, or Luca, Italy, are probably not going to recognize.
Right.
I've been drawing a Room of One's Own. No, not a Room of One's Own. I've been drawing Mystery to Me. Mm-hmm. One of the characters is a librarian and a book fanatic. And so whenever there's like a book strip, I'll put them at Mystery to Me, which is just such a marvelous store. So I love throwing these things in. And I'm sure, people in Brazil are going, you know what?
Hey, we are all out of time, John.
Oh.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for going John Kavalik.
Again sometime.
And again.
Definitely.
If people want to find out more about everything that you're up to, the best website to go to is dorktower.com.
Dorktower.com.
That's it. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, let's do this again in 30 years.
Okay. Sounds good. We appreciate it. And we want to thank our friends here from A Short Stack Eatery, Alex and Sinead, and everybody behind the counter and in the grill back there. And also Catherine Lake and her sister Sherry visiting from Virginia. Sam behind the controls back at the station. John and Gordy will be back here next Wednesday morning. We'll be here tomorrow morning on the air bright and early at 6 a.m. We hope you have a great day.
Take care.
So
everybody.
Long, everybody. From Short Stack. Woo!
It's the John and Gordy Show.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball, Wednesday, noon to 2, Trigby Olson, Pat Kreitlow, and what's making news right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Co-
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House this morning voting on a bill that could eventually spell the end of TikTok without some changes in the app's owners, who members of